Glory to God. Well, we're still believing Romans 8:11. The same God, the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Amen. That is shouting scriptures. Let's just stand to our feet. We're going to welcome the presence of God in the house, and we're going to celebrate God today. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate him for what he's done. For God so loved the world. And the proof of that love is in the crucifixion. And the power of that love is in his resurrection. Father, we just welcome your Holy Spirit in this place today. That has come to set upon us, Father, to brood upon us until there is breakthrough, Lord. We just welcome you in this place today, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word that's going to go forth. Thank you for the opportunity to enter into your courtroom with praise today, to bring you that sacrifice of praise. And Lord, we just give you honor and glory for that today. We're going to be taking up our regular tithes and offerings this morning. And I want to encourage you today to be thinking about during the service and be praying during the service about giving a resurrection seed offering besides your regular tithe this morning. What are you believing God for? I have a testimony in the Sunday handout this morning about God's favor moving dramatically for me just in 1 week's time. And I just want to share it to encourage you to put action behind your faith. Putting action behind your faith. I had believed God to either quit my part-time job or to do something with it because I had a desire to be here at church on Wednesday night and to be available to do ministry. And I had voiced this to someone, and not really in just a prayer, but just a voice to her. And she said, well, sometimes you just have to step out on faith and let God do the rest. So I just put it aside and didn't think anything about it. And then Monday, I picked up a book by Joel Osteen called At Work, actually. It was just laying there. And my eyes went to this chapter that was titled Putting Action to Your Faith. And as soon as I read that, the Holy Ghost leaped within me, and I knew exactly what I was going to have to do. So I called my husband. I ran it by him, and he said, you know what you need to do? Just do what you need to do. I hung up. I called the nursing home and said, I want to change my PRN status to 20 hours a week to 8 hours a week, which would be 2 nights, 4 to 8. And, of course, I could set my own time then. And, of course, I was going to take off Wednesday night. And then 2 days later, I get a text, and God's favor moved within that period of time of 1 week. And I was offered the amount of money that I would have made at the nursing home and still have that free time. So I would encourage you to put action behind your faith. It's not trying to make God move because he's already done it. We've heard the message that it's finished. Amen. But it's just saying, God, I'm serious about my covenant with you. And I know that you've already done your part. And I'm going to do what I need to do. And that's my action part. So I don't know what you're believing God for today. But just put faith in your action. Say, I'm going to give a resurrection seed this morning in the offering. And I'm going to believe you, God, to move on my behalf. I know I'm already healed. I know I'm already blessed. But I want you to know, God, that I am serious about you moving on my behalf. Amen. And we just want to bless you today and know that the favor of the Lord follows you wherever you go. Amen.
Woo, ain't God good? Hallelujah. And all the time, God is good. Ain't that it? Y'all look really good today. Well, they don't cotton too well to compliments, do they? I'm just... Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, y'all look really good today. How's that? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's a blessing to be able to sit here looking good. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I just thank you. You know, God is shining lights in so many areas. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little testimony of something just happened to me this morning. And it might not be very big to you guys, but to me it's a pretty amazing thing. When I first got my job, a couple of people asked me who was I working for, and I tell them the individual's name, and a couple of people that know me pretty well looked at me and told me, you need to go find you another job, said you and him will be into it, blah blah blah, said you won't last long, blah blah. Well, I mean, this has happened more than once. Well, as time went on, you could see a change. And let me tell you about this change. I don't curse around these people. I don't do nothing that will be, a worldly fashion. If I do something, I take my time and I do it correctly. I don't complain and bicker about nothing. I just go on with life. You know, it is what it is. If you see something needs to be done, go do it, and it's just the way it works. But anyway, I'm going on my third year there. Now, this guy's son-in-law suddenly started to go into church. Asked me for a CD, and he and his wife, they now go to church. And the guy that I started this conversation about, he sent us a text this morning for the company. And in this text, it hoped that everybody that hadn't been to church, go to church. That's an awesome thing. Now it said, told these people to go to church and just try God, because you will not regret it. Now, that's a far cry from where you need to get away from him to the point we're at now. And you know what, guys? I've not said anything to this man. I just let that light shine. You know what I'm saying? God will do the work. We just got to make ourselves available. Amen. It just tears me up because I know where I'm at in this thing, and it's either whole hog or nothing. You can't straddle the fence on this thing. Jesus didn't straddle the fence. Hallelujah. Well, now it's enough talking. I'll quit running my mouth and let's see if we can't get the praise on this morning. Everybody ready to get the praise on this morning? Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I watched the movie Passion of the Christ. And what stuck out to me the most is when they had him strapped to the stump. Yeah. Now, it was vicious. It was vicious. And for me to look at that and just think, he did that for me. He did that so I wouldn't have to go through it. That's an awesome thing right there. There's more to that movie than it's a tangible piece to where we could see what happened to our Lord and Savior. Whew. Go ahead, guys. Come on, y'all. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, you're alive. You rule, you reign, you said you're coming back again. I know you will, all the earth will sing your praises. All the earth will sing your praises. You took and you take our sins away, oh God. You give and you gave your life away for us. You came down, you saved us through the cross.
hearts are changed because of your great love. You live, you died, and you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, and you're alive. You rule, you reign, you said you're coming back again. I know you will, all the earth will sing your praises. That's right, yes. All the earth will sing your praises. You took and you take our sins away, oh God. You gave your life away for us. You came down, you saved us through the cross. Our hearts are changed because of your great love. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You lived,
and you died, and you said, and in 3 days you would rise. You did. You're alive. Now you rule, and you reign, and you said that you're coming back again. I know you will. All the earth will sing your praises. All the earth will sing your praises. In 3 days you would rise. You did. Now you're alive, and you rule, and you reign. And I know you will. I know you will. Now all the earth will sing your praises. You live and you die, and you said in you're alive, you're alive, you're alive. Now you rule, and you reign, and you said that you're coming back again. I know you will, all the earth will sing your praises. All the earth will sing your praises. The Lord has done. Say, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, he touched my mind, and he saved me with just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. He's there for more the same. Oh yes, come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Now the lame man was sitting outside the gate, begging alms of those who entered in. When Peter and John came upon him, the lame man was expecting from him. Now he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give it unto thee. That's right. That's when the spirit hit the lame man, and he leaped to his feet, crying, look what the Lord done for me. Yes, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, he touched my mind, he saved me with just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. He's evermore the same. Oh yes, come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Woo! Hi, Dad. How you doing, Papa? I know how you're doing.
I know how you're doing.
He's back. Amen. Praise the Lord.
What's this about?
It's cause you're home.
Wow. You all look so good. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. It's been 56 days living in the ark of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you what, I think we just need to do that song again. I'm so thankful to the Lord. Amen. I tell you what, the resurrected has come back on the resurrection day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't seem real, but you had to have been there. It's real. The Word of God is real, and it's powerful. And if you just got to believe it, church, that's all I can tell you. And you can't wait until that moment when you're in a situation and say, okay, now what do I need to do? It's got to just come up on the inside of you, and you got to get mad at the devil, and you say, no, you don't. This one's mine. It's not time. You're a liar. The Spirit of the that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in him and quickens his mortal body. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Well, look what the Lord has done.
Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. He's evermore the same.
Oh,
come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done.
Now the lame man was sitting outside the gate, begging alms for those who enter in. When Peter and John came upon him, the lame man was expecting from him. Now what did he say? Come
now
on.
He said, silver and
woo,
gold have I none, but such as I have, I give it unto thee. That's when the Spirit hit the lame man, and he leaped to his feet, crying, look what the Lord done for me. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. He's evermore the same.
Oh yes.
Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Bound by the chains of darkness and sin, I had no hope and no peace of mind. Well, my sins were as scarlet. He walked on white as snow, and he opened up my blinded eyes. Now my soul can rejoice, cause I made it my choice. I've got the peace and everything I need.
Come on now.
That when the Spirit hit me,
look
what the Lord done for me. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. And he saved me. It was just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. He's evermore the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done.
Yeah. I tell you, you all would have seen a sight if you'd have seen me getting in that wheelchair over here. They had it over here by this door, and he parked around the front, and I had to get on that thing, never driven it before in my life, come around that table, hitting the end of the table, come through the red room. You should have seen that. I hit the door, by the way. I hope it opens. Anyway, coming through there, and I'm thinking, I got to get this wheelchair out there. You know, and it will not stop just because you say stop. I mean, you have to
That's right.
make it. I mean, it and it won't, you know, you got to make it stop, right?
Amen. I want to thank everybody for all the prayers, all the believing for us. I tell you, the last 57 days has been quite an experience. I guess the most exciting thing about those 57 days is when I died. And I don't remember it. But everybody else around me does. And for 30 minutes, they didn't give up on me. And even the medical people were astonished that after being gone that long, when I came back with no significant damage.
Hallelujah.
And you know, a lot of times, you know, it wasn't well when he gets through this. So it was always if. And there was always a big question in all of the medical people's mind about whether or not I was going to make it. Most of them wouldn't have bet for me. But God. Amen. It's good to be here. Good to be among the resurrected. And see, I didn't know. She didn't tell me for 2 or 3 weeks afterwards that I had died. I didn't know anything about it. And I called Clifton Coulter. And just talking to him, when he answered the phone, I said, oh, it's the voice of one as though raised from the dead. I didn't know that. And then he said, well, I'm going to read your book. Well, I said, what book? He said, you know, where were you going to write about being dead for 30 minutes? I thought, what's he talking about? So I got off the phone with him, and I said, what did Clifton mean about being dead for 30 minutes?
Well, you know, when you're fighting for your life, you don't need to know that you've been dead. And I knew there would come a time, because I knew how the enemy would operate, and every negative report that would come in, you know, how the devil would do things. So I thought, now when the time is right, I'll tell him what happened. So after he got off the phone, I told him what happened. And you all can be seated for just a minute. And, you know, I'm just going to take a minute, but I just want to share with you. I know you all read my testimony last Sunday, but it was a kind of situation where I knew Sunday morning he needed to go to the emergency room. We got over there, and he had his pneumonia was so bad, and his blood pressure was so low, they immediately started the breathing treatments, put him in ICU, put him three different antibiotics, and, you know, there we were. Well, by Wednesday, it was better. I mean, his blood pressure was up on its own, and the pneumonia was still pretty packed in there, but, you know, all along, we've been saying the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and he quickens your mortal body. He makes it alive. And I mean, it wasn't like something that just out of the blue, I looked up that scripture, Romans 8:11, on that day and said, I need this scripture. But it's something that for years that we, you know, we just know that that's what the Spirit of God does. And that Thursday morning, he had gotten up to use the bathroom and was having a hard time breathing. And the nurse helped me, and he was going to lay him back down. He said, no, I can't lay down. I can't breathe. So we set him on the side of the bed, and he was beginning to panic. And so the nurse was trying to get him to, you know, calm down, and she saw that he couldn't breathe. So she went out, and when she went out, he died in my arms because he was leaning back against me. I said, put your head back here. I said, just relax now. Lean against me. And he died. I knew it. I called the nurse. But the first thing I said was, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in him and quickens his mortal body. They began working on him, and after a while they asked me to move into the hallway, and a nurse stood there by me. And I told her, I said, tell him not to quit. I said, he's coming back. I mean, there's just no, I said, and they worked for 30 minutes. And then finally they said, well, we've got his heartbeat. So I went back in there, and they immediately began, got the arrangements to fly him to Audubon, where the doctors and the specialists were. And I remember getting in his ear, and I said, I want to tell you something, Gerald Relaford. You're going to make this trip. I didn't tell him they didn't think he would, but I said, you're going to make this trip, and I'll be over there. I'll be there when you get there, and you just remember what our verse is. And I want you to know, church, through all of that, I mean, everything in him had to come back to life. Now, I don't know that much about nursing, but I mean, even when we got there, even though his heart was beating, I mean, his stomach wasn't working. His bowels weren't working. His kidneys weren't working. At any time, they didn't know, the doctors didn't know at what point how he was going to come along. But I'm here to tell you, every day God did something. There was progress every day. And we surrounded him. And the kids, I remember, I tell you what, I thank God for my kids and my family. Because I didn't have to worry about them not knowing how to stand and believe God. I called them and I said, I want you to know, you pray. Dad has died, you believe with me, and you start confessing and believing with me. And I tell you, that'll get your attention and wake you up on it, Missy. But they did. And they surrounded us. And we didn't allow any negative talk. We didn't get in there and say, oh, you look awful. Oh, you poor thing. Wonder if this is going to happen. But every day, they'd come in there and they'd say, you know how they, Miss Martha, you all that are nurses, you know how they start him on the feeding tube. And then they'd measure how much he'd digest. Well, 2 or 3 days. I mean, he wasn't digesting any food. They'd have to pull it out, put it back in. And then the next shift would come on. Guess what started happening? That stomach started digesting. Next thing you know, 3 or 4 days later, here he starts having a... You ever seen a whole intensive care unit rejoice because somebody's got a bowel movement? Guess what's happening? That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead was dwelling in him, and it was making his body alive. Well, the last thing that needed to be dealt with was his kidneys. And I mean, they tried to be stubborn. I had three doctors that were in this group, and two of them were pretty positive. Well, it's going to get this, and then it's going to level off and come down. Those were the words. And then it's going to turn around. Well, this one guy would come in, and he was the one that was, well, we're going to set him up for dialysis. And then he had to have dialysis. And it didn't matter. Still going to turn around. And on a Thursday, I remember he'd already had three dialysis treatments. And this guy already had him tested and measured to put the permanent port in for the dialysis. And I'm going, no. And that night I said, now, God, I know what your word says, but I said, I need a word. And the daily devotional that day, catch this, the little devotional I read, the scripture, was Jeremiah 29:11, and it was in the Message Bible. And you know that it says, you know, the thoughts and the plans I have for you are for a future. But the Message Bible says, I'm turning things around. I said, that's my word. I said, you'd watch it tomorrow when they do the labs every morning. They went by the labs. And I knew that. And he said, and I'm bringing you home. That's what it says in the Message Bible. I said, okay. I said, I knew it was before, but I said, there ain't going to be no more dialysis. I might as well get me a. And the guy kept saying, oh, make sure they don't wash that marker off. I was ready to get me a wash rag. Guess what? The next day, labs were down. He didn't need dialysis. Guess what? He didn't need the next day. He didn't. Finally, they got ready to send us home. Send us to rehab on Monday. Woke up Monday morning and said, well, we're going to send you to rehab. And I want you to know, they continued to improve and to improve. All his last lab results, and I don't go by them, but I just want you to know, all his last lab results, they're still continuing and still improving, because God is still restoring him and strengthening his body. But I want to tell you, was it easy? No. But you got to know what you believe. And you got to realize that God is in control. And there would be times when I'd say, God, I need to hear something good, anything good. And the nurse would come in, and he didn't even know what he was saying. And I'd go over to him, and I'd say, now, what's your word? He'd go, the same spirit. Raise Christ from the dead. I said, all right, keep saying it, keep saying it. He didn't even know what was going on. And he'd be saying it, and the kids were saying it, and we had it on everything. And you know, the enemy wants to knock you off your feet. I mean, here we are in ICU, and he's already been on the ventilator 8-9 days. He's still on it. And everybody goes, oh, he's still on the ventilator? Oh. I'm going, it doesn't matter. He's coming off the ventilator. I mean, you know. Doesn't matter how, you know, and the nurse, and I know they're trying to look out for you. Well, we need to go ahead and be getting ready now, not now, but soon down the road, you're going to have to go to rehab, and we're going to have to put you in this rehab because the dialysis that he's having to have. And also, and she said, you know, and also he's not off that ventilator yet. He may have to have a trach. She left. Boy, I got mad. I said, I didn't even tell you all that. I said, there ain't no way. I told the kids, I said, I'll tell you, God didn't bring him back for him to live like that. Now, come on. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in him and quickens his mortal body, he makes his body alive, and he didn't bring him back to be on dialysis and have a trach. My God's bigger than that. I just never said nothing about it. I said, that's just the wind blowing. So next thing you know, the ventilator's off. He's off the ventilator, and we get up on the other floor, and I mean, from that day, from that point on, you know, progress. And then they tell me he can't swallow. I said that he can swallow. Anyway, but I'm here to tell you, your prayers were felt. You know, I didn't do this on my own. My kids believed. You all believed. But I'm telling you, somebody had to stand out front. And it's that person that gets all the evil reports. But I'm here to say that not one of those reports came through because of God, because the same spirit. Come on, church. And you know, when they get through with praise and worship, we're going to serve communion. We're going to let them continue with the praise and worship. But I want to tell you this. If you have anything wrong, anything you're believing God for, physically or anything at all, when we take the bread, you believe of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has done for us, that it's going to accomplish the healing of whatever you need in your body. And that blood that he shed, he absolutely set you free. Did you know that? He died so that we might be free. He rose from the dead and is seated at the by the Father, and his spirit is alive in us. It's real. It is real. Don't take anything for granted. Folks, celebrate the resurrection. Celebrate what he's done for you. Celebrate the word of God and the thing that he showed me. He said, Laverne, you're not standing on a miracle. You're standing on the word. You see, a lot of people, they get their miracle and then they get so rejoicing in their miracle. And then when something comes up, they don't know what to do. Listen. We're still standing on the word. When he's running circles around in this church, I'll still be standing on the word that the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in him and quickens his mortal body. Quicken means makes it alive. Amen, church. The word works. The word works. And that's our message. That's our message, is the word of God works. Amen. Let's praise him.
Amen. Our pastors are back. That's an awesome thing. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of thunder raising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all of God's unity singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. We have hope that His promises are true. In His strength, there is nothing we can do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power of darkness, no weapons prevail. We stand here in victory. Oh, say, greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered our enemies. Oh, no power of darkness, no weapons prevail. We stand here in victory. Oh, in victory. Yes. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us.
God are yes and amen. If you have a need in your body, if you have a need in your body, I want you to get up here right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, if you have a need in your body today, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in this place right now to bring healing to your bodies in the name of Jesus.
can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, are true. In His strength there is nothing we can do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands to wait lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. Greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered our enemies. Oh, no power of darkness, no weapons prevail. We stand here in victory. Oh, now greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered our enemies. Power of darkness, no weapons prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, in victory. Yes. The same power that drew Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us.
Lives in us. He lives in us.
We have hope that His promises are true in His strength. There is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us. Greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered our enemies. Oh, no power of darkness, no weapons prevail. We stand here in victory. Oh, greater is He that is living in me. Our enemy. Oh, no power of darkness, no weapons prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, in victory. Yes. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us.
I just want to share this with you. I don't remember any of this. I remember Sunday morning when she took me to the hospital at Taylor County. And then after that, I don't remember anything. I don't remember any more of that stay over there at Taylor County. Of course, I don't remember flying out. Don't remember going to Alderman. Don't remember any of that stuff until, I don't know, a week or 10 days before I went to rehab, then I can kind of remember a little bit of it. But I had some strange experiences. I was hallucinating and all kinds of stuff during the time I was in the hospital. I won't even go in and tell you what I thought. Well, I will, too. I thought at one time they were treating Civil War soldiers that had been wounded. And I was in there where they were. I guess God just protected me from it. And then one of the biggest shocks was about, 3 weeks after into it, when I was starting to come around. And Laverne said, "Well, I've got some bad news I need to share with you." So one of your good friends has died. And I'm trying to think. She said, "Joe Payne." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Joe." The last time I saw Joe was at Edwin's funeral. He read the scripture as part of the funeral service. And I never thought then at all that I'd never see him again. when she told me that, I just laid there on the bed and cried. Because for over 10 years, Brother Joe and Brother Lewis Haynes and I have been meeting together on Friday morning and having a sausage biscuit together and praying together and sharing with the Word of God, talking about church things. And I'm really going to miss him. And I've thought several times, I said, man, could have been both of us. And, you know, what happened that I made it. But it was a week after I died that he died. I came back, but he didn't. And just things happen, and you don't expect them. You don't know what's going on. But the only memory that I have in the early, after I started waking up, Kaylin's boyfriend, Daniel, came by the hospital to see me. And I looked up at him, and somebody said, you know who it is? I said, yeah. I said, hello, Daniel. And it just blessed him so much that I knew who he was. And that's all I can remember, that one little incident. I remember seeing him. And I remember telling him, hello, Daniel. But a lot of it's just like a dream or a nightmare or something that you saw or heard about, but not something you experienced. But when I was dead for that 30 minutes, and Clifton said, you know, I can't wait to read your book about. I said, book about what? He said, you know what? You're being dead 30 minutes. I said, well, it's going to be a short book. Because I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't see any lights. Nobody spoke to me. I never saw the pearly gates. I never saw anything. But you know, that doesn't mean anything. The Lord knew I wasn't coming, so I don't guess he decided not to bother me with some of the things that I could have seen. You know, whet my appetite. But I'm glad to be here. And I'll tell you what. We have a message here at this church that a lot of people out there in the world need to hear. A lot of people in the Christian community need to hear. And just because we're not as big as some others doesn't mean that the power of God is not flowing here. And we need to pray and believe that the eyes of the people are going to be open and they're going to see, hey, if I want God, I mean, not just some spectacular something, not just fun and games, you know, not just socialism, but I want God. And I want God's power working in my life. And they're going to find out about new life. They're going to experience new life. Well, God bless all of you. I love you.
Hallelujah. If I could get the ushers to come forward. You know, this is a great time to give to Christ. And I can promise you, I say it over and over, you cannot give the Lord. So, Heavenly Father, just thank you right now for the offerings and the tithes, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless the people mightily, Lord God, when they're faithful and give to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
To him. He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way.
I can't think of a better time to do this. Hallelujah. You know, our Lord and Savior, he walked this earth to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Hallelujah. We didn't have the authority nor the power to do what he had to go through. Hallelujah. I just, it amazes me that people just can't get a handle or realization what Christ did for us. Amen. Kenzie, you can keep playing that. That would be a nice thing to do.
Do what?
Keep playing that.
Okay.
So y'all can stand, please. So this morning, y'all thank Christ for eating the bread that is a symbol of his body. And thank him for the taste of what's called the wine in the Bible for his blood. Amen? Because he gave them both. He gave his blood and his body for us. Hallelujah. Y'all can come on, guys.
trust of this life. Rain the storms, the hardest nights. All your mercies in disguise.
I just wanted to share with you that this wheelchair and all this is not because there's anything wrong other than the fact that I was just so debilitated when I went through everything, and I just didn't have any strength. I mean, when I got to rehab and they put me on a walker and they said, see how far you can go. And that first time that they tried it, I went 10 feet. That's all I could do, was 10 feet, and I had to sit down. And after a few days and weeks, it was 165 feet. And you know, 165 feet is the length from the midfield in a football stadium to the back of the end zone. That's a pretty good little distance. And I'm just recovering my strength, and that's what this is for, that I just don't have the strength back, and it's going to be a while before all the strength is back. Just like, yeah, it's coming, but just like Laverne said, when you die, everything shuts down. And I just want to take just a couple of minutes here. And I have a good friend that's here this morning. He drove all the way up here from Monroe, Louisiana, just to look at me. Bishop Ray Foy, and I want you to come up, Ray, for a couple of minutes and just share. You know, that's a lot of love and concern to do that.
I've been trying for a whole month. Me and Elizabeth both were going to come. But at the home office, so many things are happening. So many people are fighting to stay on of health, and the enemy is trying to stop it. But you see, Gerald has showed us something. As I was got up early at 3 o'clock this morning, the Lord started talking to me about Gerald. He said, I got many things. And I want to tell you, folks, y'all better get ready to add chairs. Because, see, you have something to talk about. You see, you're going to have to talk about church. You can talk about what Jesus can do the impossible. And he said to tell you, go tell your friend, tell everybody, say, come watch, come look at our miracle. See, when you have a miracle, people believe. And now God is getting ready to take the church back. See, we've been playing church for the last 10 years, and God's ready to move again. The power of God's ready. But it's going to have to be not through him, her, and her. It's for you. You see, he's wanting a body. Gerald is showing us that we can do the impossible. Now God wants to do the impossible for you. I do want to tell you, I didn't just come just to look at it. I didn't stay yesterday very long because, you know, when you've been in a hospital as many times as me and Gerald, you know that you don't feel like having company. So all I did was just come to look at him. Just to know that he was alive.
and I looked a lot better than he thought I was going to.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for what I saw. I'll be honest. I could have kept talking to him, but you know, when you come out of the hospital and drive a long way, it takes a while to get your strength back. So I only stayed 30 minutes. It's not how long you're with somebody. It's looking in their face and seeing what God has done. And Gerald, God said, get ready. He said, I'm going to fill this room again. Because it ain't going to be because people are going to come out and can see, but the people here are going to tell what God can do. Amen.
So, I'm going to go home. We'll see you next time.
You're back, Dad. You're back. Now, can I have my hug? You know, I'm going to tell you something. And it's been on me to say this ever since I heard this morning, but I just can't wait to see Brother Coulter, cause if anybody in this world would have told that, it would have been him. I just can't see that. I just can't wait to see him. But you know what? It's still a good thing to know that the power of Christ is stronger than anything we have. Amen.
Amen.
It sure is. Regardless of what we're going through, you can always rely on the Word. Amen? Hallelujah.
Blessed Redeemer.
Country to where we can worship freely. You know that? See, we don't have to worry about going out and being hung because we worship God. And it's bad that we don't take that to heart. It's bad that we don't understand that there are people in this world that would just like to own a Bible. But you know one thing about this? My God's able to reach them too, amen? And we'll reach them. We're to carry the word at all times with us, amen. Don't have to be a Bible, it can be right here. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise and worship team.
So, well, you know, we're always led by the Holy Ghost, but so I'm just going to touch some high points of the sermon today.